Good morning, everyone. Let's pray. Father God, we come into your presence in all humility, in awe of you and all that you've done for us, in all that you are doing for us, and in all that you will do in our lives. You have given us so much that we don't deserve or even haven't earned. But only through your grace and mercy are we allowed to seek your face. Father God, we love you, and we want to make this service pleasing to you. Open the ears of the people who haven't heard this message, and we pray that you send your Holy Spirit into this church to anoint each and every one of us this morning. Seal us with your mark. Heal us with your words, and soften our hearts with your unconditional love. Amen. A couple were constantly arguing over who should make the tea in the mornings. The man said it was the woman's job, and strangely enough, the woman said it was the man's job. This went on for several weeks with no one backing down. Eventually, the woman said, "Look, I can prove it's the man's job to make the tea. It's in the Bible." "Really?" said the man. "Okay, show me where it says that in the Bible." The woman got out her Bible and pointed to Hebrews. Sorry. I was going to apologize before that, but you know. We are studying Hebrews, so. So this is the second talk on Hebrews. Martin started the series last week and he really set the scene. Just to quickly recap, the New Testament letter was traditionally attributed to Paul, but now widely believed to be the work of a Jewish Christian, perhaps one of Paul's associates, and was written in the second half of the first century. This was all happening under the rule of Nero's persecution of Christians in the mid-60s. The readers were Jewish Christians who attempted to revert to Judaism under the pressure of Nero's persecution. Now, in case you don't know, Nero was a nasty piece of work. He murdered his way to the imperial throne. His life was characterized by debauchery and violence. And it's alleged that he started the Great Fire of Rome in AD 64, which burned for over a week and destroyed over 70% of the Eternal City, just so he could justify building a more splendid one to his own liking. After a lot of criticism, he then blamed Christians for the fire and started their persecution. In Rome, some Christians were clothed in animal skin and set upon by dogs, some crucified, and some set alight to give light when night fell. That's what the writer is warning against, and that's what the readers were tempted to do, to drift away from Christianity, and to be honest, it's probably quite understandable under those circumstances. But against that backdrop, this is God's amazing story of redemption, atonement, and of course, love. The book of Hebrews is the bridge that connects the Old Testament and the New. These covenants are completely different, and yet many Christians approach God on the basis of the Old Testament law instead of the New Testament faith. The entire book is about Jesus and how he, and he alone, is the guarantee of a new and better covenant. It's essential for every Christian to understand this. We found out last week that Hebrews 1 is about the supremacy of Jesus Christ. It paints a wonderful picture of how he is superior to the angels because of what he did on the cross. Jesus is the exact representation of the Father and was sent to communicate to us the true nature of God. But by understanding who Jesus is and what he said, we can know the fullness of God's nature and character. So this morning I'm talking about Hebrews 2 and the role of Christ in salvation. Let's have a closer look at the verses. So verse 1, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Well, I'm not sure about you, but sometimes I have trouble paying attention. Funnily enough, especially when I'm listening to a sermon. But that won't happen this morning. You might think that this is a message for non-believers, but it's for us too. Maybe it's especially for us. We can become a little complacent with the glory of Jesus' message, maybe even thinking, yeah, I've heard these verses 1,000 times, but were you paying attention? Not only should we hear the message, we should also act on what we hear. Because if we don't pay attention, we will drift away. Drifting is something that happens quite automatically when you're not anchored to anything solid. If we are not anchored in the superiority of Jesus, we will drift away with the currents of the world, the flesh, and indeed the devil. So you don't actually have to do anything to just drift away. Even Christians can slowly drift from God. It's not necessarily a sudden departure. An ungodly farmer died, and they discovered in his will that he had left the farm to the devil. They didn't quite know what to do with it. How do you give a farm to the devil? Finally, the judge decided the best way to carry out the wishes of the deceased is to allow the farm to grow weeds, the soil to erode, and the house and barn to rot. In our opinion, the best way to leave something to the devil is to do nothing. We can leave our lives to the devil in the same way, by doing nothing, drifting with whatever currents will drive us. It's an easy option. It's a lazy option. We all believe, don't we? But if we don't set sail for God, we are going to drift away from him. If we don't focus on God, then we are focusing on something or someone else. Just let's reverse the situation for a second. Imagine you are praying to God about something very important to you. You're in the middle of prayer and suddenly you hear God say, "Oh, sorry, I wasn't paying attention there for a minute. What was that you said?" You'd understandably feel a bit neglected and very disappointed. But God doesn't do that. He loves us too much not to give us his full attention. So imagine how God feels when we don't give him our whole, undivided attention. Why would we not do the same if we love him? For this next part, I'm going to need some help. I'm going to need an assistant, Leslie, my wife, and a rope. And there's not necessarily a connection between the two. But there might be. Now, I don't know whether you can see it or not, probably not.